Today's program has been brought to you by 360 Cookware, American-made, green-manufactured cookware using vapor technology. For more information, visit 360cookware.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, and welcome to After the Jump. I'm your host, Grace Bonney, and today we're coming to you live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. This is our final show of the year, but we'll be back after the holidays with new shows and new guests. If you're interested in listening to this show or any show after our live airing, you can download the podcast and stream all of the show archives at heritageradionetwork.org or listen on iTunes. Today, I'm joined by Amy Azzarito, Managing Editor of Design Sponge. Hey, Amy. For our final show of the year, we thought it would be fitting to look back at the year behind us and round up and review the top 10 design and blogging trends that we've seen on our blog, on everybody else's blog, in magazines, and in the market. So we're going to round up the top 10 of our favorite design trends for the first half of the show, and then looking at the blogging world after that. So we're going to start and we're going to break down why we think the trends happened, our favorite examples, and where we think it's going next. So let's start with the first one. Amy, you want to lead us in?
Yeah, I'm really excited about this one because I have actually been working on, we're doing a jewelry gift guide on the site. And one of the big trends in jewelry and in the home is the sort of the geode rock mineral trend. And it's just all over the place.
I think it's my favorite of the whole year.
Yeah, it's really fun and really colorful. So agates and pink and blue and purple. It's really beautiful.
And we go ahead. You want to talk about, we've been talking about why we think we had this conversation before we started recording. And I think it's sort of an extension of what we saw last year, which was a lot of like raw wood, a lot of rough wood, like driftwood, unfinished wood. And I think people have kind of been opening their minds to the idea of working with things that aren't perfect and polished.
Right. And then I thought it also kind of grew out of the celestial star kind of thing.
Mystical.
Last year you gave me a coaster set from Jonathan Adler because you knew I love sort of stars and every, you could give people what was Libra.
Yeah. I feel like if you search for astrological on Etsy, it's kind of mind blowing how much stuff there is there now.
I love it actually. Yeah. So I think this has grown out of that sort of the mystical. Yeah.
I think my favorite example is Jen Altman's book, Gem and Stone, that came out this year.
It's a great book.
Which is literally just like a love story to minerals, rocks, and precious gems. And it's just gorgeous photographs of them with information about each one of them. And then she turned those photographs into a collection of silk scarves that she's selling in her online shop, Sistine, which I'm probably totally mangling the pronunciation of. But
It's a beautiful shop.
Yeah, it's a beautiful shop. It's CISTHENE.com.
Yeah, and we were trying to sort of predict where this would go, which is difficult to do. But
we're voting. We're each voting. Yeah. It's staying around.
Yes, I think it's for sure staying around. It's too awesome not to. I think people are not done with it yet. But we were thinking maybe it would get a little less colorful. I'm seeing a little more grays, blacks, clear, sort of the crystally looking.
Well, I think that sort of minimalism that's happening, and we'll talk about that too, but I think the minimalism meeting with that sort of masculinized trend that's happened with the last couple of years, I feel like it's going to start to permeate even further and maybe see less of like the really overtly feminine, like the pinks and the purples and all of those sorts of agate accessories we've seen like at Anthropology and stuff. I think you'll start to see those get a little bit darker and more intense. So, all right, next one. Next one is sort of geometric patterns slash patterns that have been inspired by traditional Native American trade blankets. So these are the things that a lot of sites are sort of just with a blanket term calling Navajo, but I think it's actually taking inspiration from something much wider than that.
Right. And that, which has like been around forever. And I guess I don't see any sign of it abating. But what's been interesting is that people are pulling out it's funny because like we're in Roberta's and I can see through the window. One of the diners has a sort of Navajo inspired cardigan on. So I don't think it's going anywhere right now. Yeah. But we might just see more of those pulled out and a little more abstract and less sort of direct Native American trade blanket inspiration.
I think we're going to see the color palettes change. I think like the really intense red and oranges that look like really classic sort of Navajo blankets, I think that stuff is going to look really dated, like at least that particular color palette. So I think if you're moving towards black and whites, creams, grays, sort of neutrally toned, I think those will have a longer lifespan. And I think in terms of geometric, which is like the triangle everything, I think you'll see things start to get a little bit rounder. It was funny, at last year's Portland Bazaar, I heard someone laughing about like what's next year's shape going to be, that because if last year it was a triangle, and I think we're going to see things get rounder. One of my favorite examples is a Portland jewelry designer who runs a company called Stone and Honey, and she did a whole collection of like triangular jewelry, and now she did these sort of rounded U shapes, and I think that shape is sort of where we're going, where things are softer. And other good examples of the geometric trend, if you're looking to pick that up before the year ends, there's a seller on Etsy who's called AM Radio, and she makes really gorgeous Hameli ornaments as well as brass like mobiles that you would hang from
or like ceiling. The prism things, right?
Yeah, those prisms that are really great really examples beautiful. And I think they're kind of timeless. I don't know, I just bought one, but I'm always kind of behind on trends. So that leads us into the next one, because we're talking about copper and brass, metallics slash neon, which we thought was sort of an extension of this year. Everything, I felt like it was like, when in doubt, just paint some tiny part of it hot pink, or just spray paint some tiny part of it gold or metallic.
Right. Yeah. It's not. Yeah. We were saying that this is like how to embellish maybe a piece of furniture. So maybe you would spray paint the legs.
I think it's, again, like copper. an extension of this desire people they have to still be decorative, to still be like fun and kind of fanciful, but without being so ornate. Because rather than adding like a big heavy pattern, you're just maybe spray painting the tips of the bottoms of your chair legs pink, or making them copper or something like that. And then that really moved into like, we saw a ton of copper and brass this year, rather than there was just gold everywhere forever before that. And people really kind of embraced different metals this year, which we did as well. And it's been so much more fun to switch it up a little bit.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to stick around, but we both talked about, I think that we're going to see, like everything, it go a little bit deeper and darker. Although I think, Amy, you might disagree, but I think it's going to go darker, like
iron. I don't know. Yeah, you were asking if it would go like iron.
Iron Man.
I mean, maybe it will be like oxidized. Like I could see oxidized metals kind of being really cool and people wanting to play with that. But that's not as easy to like spray paint something.
Yeah, you that's
know,
true.
If you're wanting to spray paint. I don't know. I also still see like silver and gold leaf and copper leaf, and that being around. Like a fun thing.
I feel like you've issued
with.
Me a challenge now. I want to get something iron and spray paint it pink and just put it in your face and be like, it can be done.
It's the ugliest thing.
And some of our favorite examples of the sort of metallic trend was Tom Dixon's copper pendant lights and the really beautiful copper and salt, or copper salt and pepper shakers that Ladies and Gentlemen did. And you can still pick those up online at their Big Cartel shop. So our next trend is one we've been kind of obsessed with at the site lately, which is animals, which we think kind of evolved from the mid-2000s obsession with the deer head thing that still, as we're literally sitting below a boar head over here as we're recording. And the obvious bird trend, I refuse to say the phrase associated with that, but I think people are reluctant to have those particular animals, so they're embracing a much
wider
range.
Right, I mean, I think
range.
Those became jokes, like having a deer head and having like a fake one, not a real one.
Yeah.
And having birds became like such a joke that I think no one really wanted to touch them. But we've been doing this series on the site called Animal Love. And I just started it one night as a joke. I was like, I don't know if this is okay, but there's so many fox things I want to write about it. And so we just started writing about all the animal related motifs that you could find in design. And there's like a never-ending wealth of them right now.
Of even an super weird ones like aardvarks and, I don't know, anteaters. There's at least a dozen examples of all those things. Hedgehogs.
That's weird.
They've had their moment for a while now. But, I mean, I think animals... I'm tired of that. Hedgehogs. I think animals in general, obviously, are like a timeless motif and they're not going anywhere. But I personally feel like we might see it fade off a little bit, and that I'm hoping it's going to start embracing more common animals, like household animals like dogs and cats. I can't ever have enough cats.
Well, and I was hoping that it would get less cutesy. Like, I'm not a big fan of the super cutesy, you know, animals, unless it's in, like, maybe we'll, like, keep those in the nursery, and then in your house you can kind of celebrate other, maybe it's like a reflection of an urban lifestyle. Like, mm-hmm. we want to, you know, embrace the wolf.
Well, that's why everything had botanicals for a while. I mean, those of us who are, I feel like such a huge percentage of the makers, especially that you see on Etsy and stuff, are in urban areas. And I feel like you end up drawing what you hope you had around you that you don't have around you. Mm. And so yeah, there might be a lot of trees and botanicals and animals. And I feel like all we get are tiny dogs in Brooklyn. We get tiny dogs and
feral cats.
Exactly. So our next trend is less of a design trend and more of a design world trend, which was sort of the return and proliferation of pop-up shops and brick and mortar stores. Mm-hmm. So I feel like when we started blogging, everybody had a web shop, and it was like, why would you ever have a store? It's so much overhead. It's so expensive. And this year, everybody did a pop-up. Everybody re-embraced brick and mortar. I think Makeshift Society is a great example in San Francisco. There was Etsy pop-up shops. The website The Bold Italic did a great pop-up shop. Mm-hmm. What's that great? Camera Obscura. No, wait, not Camera Obscura. Monocle. I'm thinking of eyes and cameras. Monocle. Monocle has great shops now. I think you're seeing people that like exist in web and other forms really starting to like embrace brick and mortar.
Because it's fun. I mean, I think it's fun. And so I don't see pop-up has been around for a little while, and I don't think it's going anywhere at all. It's such an easy way to like, you know, dip your toes in the space of retail. Exactly. I know we just did a sneak peek with the Balak tea company and talking to them, and they were on the show, mm-hmm. and they started with a pop-up, mm-hmm. and then they were like, this is amazing and so fun, we want to have a real store. And I think that's going to be
I also wonder if it has anything to do with the economy, and I feel like this economy is not really going anywhere for a while. And so I think if people are makers and they need to get people to invest in their work, it's easier to do that if you're sitting in front of someone face to face and they can see your work, see the quality of it. And often at these pop-up shops, people are actually making things in person, like the Etsy holiday shop we were just at this weekend.
Right.
People were sewing and letter pressing and doing all of their actual crafts in person, and it gives you a much bigger appreciation for why things cost what they cost. And I think that's easier to explain in person sometimes.
Right. And also it gives you, like, for us, as you know, on the editorial mm-hmm. side, it gives you, it's new and fresh, so mm-hmm. it's like, we're only here for, you know, 6 weeks, and it's really mm-hmm. exciting, and you want to write about it and be a part of it, and you want to go. It's like the limited edition thing.
Exactly. All right. The next one is one of my least favorite from this year, which were, it's everywhere. I don't know if it's a Pinterest thing, but the idea of quotations, lyrics, or inspirational sayings that were on posters. Everyone has them. They're everywhere. We both mm-hmm. think it's an extension of the Keep Calm posters that happened forever ago. But it's everywhere. And that's what, there was an entire article in the New York Times mm-hmm. about Pinterest and how that's sort of the best way to gauge what's happening, and that people want to sort of pin, or literally pin on their walls, posters that are simple and graphic that sort of highlight inspiring phrases.
Yeah. I mean, for some reason.
Do you own any of these?
No.
I don't either.
I'm not a huge fan of
the idea of
them.
I like the idea of something that you look at that inspires you every day. And I feel like there were like 9 million Steve Jobs quotations that were all over Etsy this year that I think people latched onto. But I'm less attracted to something when I feel like 10 million people also have the same thing.
Well, I think I feel like I got burned by the Keep Calm. Like, so I'm like, I'm sort of like an indie band about that. I like wrote the London bookshop and got once a poster sent to me, and then all of a sudden it was like on every single mug, and I was like, dang,
yeah,
this is not unique. It's too popular. I don't want it. I know.
Do we think it's sticking around?
Oh man,
I think it is. I don't think it's going anywhere. I think
we all want to be inspired, and that I think is great. And if that is what makes you inspired, I think that you should go for it and have that poster.
All right, we're going to fly through our next couple of trends because they're a little bit on the shorter side. Okay. The next one is the idea of black and white, both slightly separate discussions, but all about embracing minimalism. We've seen so many white houses this year, and our readers are constantly leaving comments.
People hate me for it.
That are like, why are you running so many white houses? But honestly, that's what we're seeing, not both in magazines, but also in the submissions that we get from people.
It's,
and when we reach
white.
Out, there's just... I think people got really tired.
And in our own homes, you and I both painted our homes white.
Yeah, we live in white boxes, basically.
And we love it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it gives you more room to play around with accessories that are like more textured or more detailed. And I think when you've got like a lot going on your walls, it can be a little visual
And
overload.
I think we're all dealing with so like information overload all the time to just like paint your room white, and you know you have that. it's like a little breath of fresh air.
And on the flip side, I think the last few years' obsession with, like, when in doubt, paint that old piece of furniture white has turned into when in doubt, paint that thing black. Whether it's...
paint it with chalkboard
paint. Yeah, paint it with chalkboard paint. Oh, God, I hope that just dies a terrible death. I'm ready for that to go. It also just... blackboard paint looks awesome the first week you've painted it. And then after that, it really starts to get, like, schmutzy and cloudy, and it's impossible to get it
well,
all
you can
off.
Clean it. We did one in the office that looks really terrible right now because we put magnetic paint under it.
That was
like
a disaster.
Not working, but
yeah. So when in doubt, I think good examples, if you like this sort of look, which I personally love right now, great blogs to check out are Anna Dorfman's Door 16, Morgan, who runs the Brick House, and I think also sites like, Daniel's
Design
site.
Sponge Sneak Peeks.
We used to say that. Sneak Peeks. More white than black, I feel like.
Right.
Manhattan Nest has great examples. And Firm Living's new collection for winter is literally just like all black and white and all geometric. So if you're into that, good places to go.
True.
I think they're classic colors. They're not going anywhere. So they're sticking around.
Nowhere to go.
The next trend is not even so much a discussion as a single thought that I've had, which is this is the year for me that reclaimed wood became as ubiquitous as IKEA. I feel like every single press release I've gotten this year has basically said like reclaimed wood about 12 different times. And for me, I think it's great that
it's great
that reclaimed has become so commonplace that we're not, you know, we're trying to be as sustainable as possible. But in one sense, I'm kind of tired of people heralding that anymore. I'm like, it's great. It's everybody uses it. Let's embrace the fact that we're reusing materials and move forward.
Well, I don't think it's as a big of a part of the story anymore as it used to be. So it was like the story as it's reclaimed wood. And it's like, well, that's great. But it still needs to have the right lines and the right proportion and look really great. That can't be like the end of the story.
Exactly. We have two more we're going to throw in before the break real fast. 70s, everything, meaning macrame, pottery, like the nightwood weavings. There's a company called New Friends that do these really great loose weavings as well as Cold Picnic. And then raw, sort of unfinished, loose, sort of 70s palette, neutral pottery from people like Blue Eagle. We've seen that everywhere. I think if you go to the Motion shop, which looks like MOCIUN, Motion. Everything in that store feels like it's carefully curated between the 70s and the late 2000s. It's like this perfect mix of old and new. And I feel like it's interesting that people have embraced that with minimalism at the same time, because to me, they're very different. But I love, love, love this trend, and I have a lot of it in my house.
It's great.
Very last one, dark walls. Gray, navy, black. It's everywhere. Everyone's embracing it. I personally love it because I think people get too scared of color on walls. And I never think of gray, black, and like navy. I don't think of those as color. I always think of them as like these neutral.
Right. And everything looks good against like a dark wall.
It does. I think that's something that if you've been too scared to embrace, or if you think white is too white for you and you need something different, I feel like when in doubt, try a gray, try a navy, try a very light black if you can, which is basically gray. But embrace those things. I don't think they're going anywhere. I think people are going to get more comfortable with them, and we're going to see them stick around for a while.
Yeah, they're easy.
So, all right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to jump into blogging trends from 2012.
Today's program has been brought to you by AmeriCraft. AmeriCraft and 360 Cookware are proud sponsors of HeritageRadioNetwork.org. AmeriCraft is an American company, and like Heritage Radio Network, they provide the best. Their 360 Cookware is made of the highest quality ingredients, like United States steel. It is made in the greenest cookware manufacturing plant in the world. AmeriCraft makes great cookware and is focused on improvement. 360 Cookware is their exclusive line. It's a contemporary line of cookware and bakeware intended to let you, the Heritage Radio Network listeners, have a unique cooking experience. Its vapor seal allows food to be cooked in its natural juices, preserving all of the vitamins, minerals, and other nutrients without added water, oils, or fats.
360 Cookware invites you to learn more about how this process works on their website, www.360cookware.com.
Hey, welcome back to After the Jump. I'm your host, Grace Bonney, and today I'm joined by Amy Azzurrito, Managing Editor of Design Sponge. And for the last show of the year, we're talking about the year of trends behind us. We talked about our top 10 from this year, which were geode, Native American / geometric, metallics, animals, pop-up shops, and the return of brick and mortar, the proliferation of quotes and sayings on posters, black and white, reclaimed wood, 70s everything, and dark walls. For the next half, we're going to be talking about the trends that have sort of been popping up in blogging. So sort of getting a little bit deeper down into the world. And I think this is the year where Amy just kind of put it perfectly. It feels like the beginning of a new appetite for realness in blogging.
Yes, I think so.
Which I'm hoping we get so much more of. We were having tea before we started recording, and I was saying I feel like this is the year where we've just started to like crack on the outside of the surface and look a little bit deeper at not only the people who make things, but the people who are talking about the things that are being made, being bloggers. And I feel like the last year and a half, there have been a lot of sort of high-profile bloggers, I would say like almost 10, if not more, who've gone through large life changes or sort of big blog changes, the way they run their blog, the way they're operating, and being really honest about like being disenchanted or uninspired and what they're doing. And I think people are starting to look at blogging, which has become a completely legitimate profession, which it wasn't when I started. And I think it's interesting that people are kind of interested in knowing that you're not perfect, that sometimes things get messed up, that you're not always, like you said, like at a birthday party and eating cupcakes. So I think there's a little bit of an interest in that. But what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I feel like it's a really, it's a hard line to walk. And for me personally, it's like, does anyone want to see me at home watching reruns of Sex and the City? I don't really want to put that on Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, I would rather put, you know, a photo of myself at the Knicks games.
Yeah.
And but I did both of those things this week.
Yeah.
so and that's reality. But I was, you know, I was thinking about it right before we came on and felt like, you know, I think that the show Girls on HBO really demonstrated that there is an appetite. Obviously, that's not reality either, but there is some sort of an appetite for more of a realness. Mm-hmm.
And an inclusiveness of people who don't look and act exactly right. Like what I think the archetype of something is. I mean, as someone who's been a blogger for nearly a decade now and was around like when this little design niche started, I feel like the types of design bloggers that were represented seemed a little bit wider. I don't know.
Yeah.
There were more guys, people in different income brackets, people in different areas. And it seemed, I don't know, it just seemed different. I don't, to be fair, I do not think there was like a very wide ethnic makeup of people at all. I think it was like mostly white people, which still is, which is kind of sad. But I think that in general, that's starting to change a little bit. I think that there was this huge, huge like wave of like really girly, girly everything. It was like lots of blonde, lots of adorable, lots of top knots, lots of like, I have a sparkly heart on every part of everything I wear in my life. And I think some of us reacted and we're like, whoa, this doesn't look like me. And do you think that I'm supposed to look like this because I like pretty things? Does that mean that I have to personally look like a design object? And I think that's completely fine if that's the way people are. But I feel like that became the archetype that represented design bloggers. And I think this year people were like, whoa, I don't do that every day. Like, I work in sweatpants sometimes. I can't get my hair on a top knot.
Right.
I don't have blonde hair. I think all of those things really started to kick in this year. And I feel like people are starting to slowly embrace a more inclusive and more realistic version of what living
their
this life
is like. Yeah.
Which is good. I think that's also kind of bled in a little bit more to the idea that like people are defining themselves in like wider ranges. I feel like people used to define themselves in blogs and it was like, this is my blog, this is my logo, this is the face I put forward. But now with like Pinterest and Tumblr and Instagram and Facebook and all these different things, you have more places to talk about who you are in a wider picture range. And I feel like people are making the conversations about themselves and their lives take place in these very visual ways. Which is interesting because I think people used to talk more. People used to talk more on their blog. They would talk more in comment sections. And I feel like this year it really hit me that like people aren't talking as much in writing form as they used to. I feel like 2012 was really a year where people were like, I'm going to define myself in a very visual way.
It's interesting. Do you think that's going to change at all? Because I mean, that's what we're seeing, you know, on the site is people rather than comment and say, "Ooh, I like this," they end up pinning it, and hopefully crediting back to us, please. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I use Pinterest and like Pinterest, but sometimes, and I know a lot of people do have, like, you do get sort of visual information, like, overload, and it's really exhausting. Yeah. And so I think, you know, next year we're going to be back here talking about, like, how do you combat this, like, visual overload that you've
Well, I wonder if we'll have a swing back in the same way that we're having a swing back to geometric stuff and minimalism after this sort of like overly girly thing. I wonder if we're going to eventually in a year from now have a swing back from people being so visual to people like re-embracing blogging as a place to like have a written conversation and have a more substantive dialogue. I don't know, that may not happen, but I feel like it's been interesting and I finally like a really stubborn old dog have finally accepted that I think that's just the way people are right now and they don't want to talk about it, and the new version of like, ooh, I like this, is to literally just pin something or tumble it or whatever so I think that's a really interesting progression we've seen this year. One of the things that I think also that's really interesting is the idea that people are sort of thinking about using and embracing and also being kind of obsessed with iPad and smartphone apps. I feel like bloggers of the last couple of years, the whole conversation was, should I write a book? Should I make a magazine? All these sort of other things. And now people are like working on apps and working on things. And I always have this weird knee-jerk reaction to them because I think they target such a small percentage of your audience. And then I have this weird thing where I'm like, oh, is this targeting like a really wealthy percentage of the audience? Like, does everybody, obviously everybody doesn't have an iPad or an iPhone, but you brought up a really interesting point.
I said, you know, my pre-Design Sponge job, I worked at the New York Public Library, and one of the big conversations we always had is that a lot of people in lower income brackets don't have personal computers. Their only connection is their smartphone. That is how they go online. And that is a trend that, from a nonprofit perspective, we saw as just increasing, continuing to grow. People would not invest in laptops. They would just buy these less expensive smartphones, less expensive iPad, and that would be it for them.
Yeah. Are they buying, is there less expensive iPad? Like, is less expensive or something?
There
like
is,
that?
But less expensive than like a laptop.
Yeah.
So that would be it. You wouldn't have a laptop. You would just have an iPad or something.
It's interesting. I'm really curious to see how that moves, because I think one thing I wanted to talk about was like online magazines, and those I feel like last year like blew up, and I feel like every blogger I talked to, like Rue, Lonnie, Matchstick, there were just so many of these, like Sweet Paul, that popped up. And I think a lot of bloggers got like really scared and terrified and were like, oh my God, this is what's going to happen. It's going to be all these online magazines. And now I feel like while they're definitely players in the field, they're not as like these big domineering scary things that I think a lot of bloggers thought they were going to be. They're just another voice in the community that's important to have in a slightly different format.
Well, I think that's an interesting point, because I think with Pinterest and with, you know, Tumblr, I don't, but whatever, where you're collecting images, it sort of levels the playing field. So no one is this, even Martha Stewart Living, as much as we love that magazine, is having trouble right now. Like, no one can be that monolithic force because of the sort of, you know, watering down that happens online when you're just collecting images.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I think people, that format was really interesting. And I think the same thing is true of like independent printed publications. And I'm really curious to see, and we saw this ourselves trying to produce a newspaper for the last 2 years, that it's really cost prohibitive to print something on paper. And so you end up producing these like $20 or $30 issue things, which for some publications is completely worth the cost and amazing, but for some maybe seems like it would be better off as a blog. And so it's been interesting to see people who were doing print go back to doing web, or people who were doing a web magazine go back to blog format. Right. And so I think that people are starting to sort of care less about the format and focusing a little bit more on like, what's the best way to deliver this type of content? Right. Let's not get caught up in what seems like the cooler or more of the moment way to deliver that content. The last thing I want to talk about, I guess, is the way minimalizing just became, for me, like the mode of the year, not only for design trends, but for blogging. And I feel like so many blog layouts got like a stripped down makeover. Lots of people went to like the white background with just black text and all the decorative elements that I think we really saw. I mean, obviously, we've always embraced that sort of decorative textured look really really heavily. I think that's all really stripped down. I mean, Design Sponge is working on doing a makeover of the same type,
right?
And to find our own version of minimal, basically.
Well, I think it's like, it's back to what we were talking about with Pinterest. And, you know, if people aren't coming to the homepage and if they're not really coming to the site very much, can you afford to have these sort of extra bells and whistles on the main site?
Yeah, or is it worth it? If people aren't reading your homepage, is it worth putting all this effort into something if they're really just going to read you through a reader or Facebook or whatever other social media platform you're using to get your content across?
Right.
So food for thought for next year. So before we head out for the year, I want to think about the things that we're excited to see for next year. I'm going to start. I'm really excited to see people be more real for next year. I think this is a really interesting place to be for the blogosphere. I can't believe I just said that word, but I'm really excited for this year. I think that people are starting to like let their guards down a little bit in a good way. I think, like you said, it's important to balance between a place of sharing too much and, or the other swing side of just being a little too perfect. But I think it's exciting. I really think that a lot of people have experienced burnout and life changes, and I think that hopefully that can give all of us a little bit of a common ground to like come together a little bit more. So I'm hoping that it leads to like a greater sense of community, not only with bloggers but with makers in general. So I'm hoping that sort of spirit of meeting in person and building support groups and friends, and I think those connections are going to get stronger next year. What about you?
You know, I'm actually, this is, the yours was so like heartfelt and mine is, feels like so superficial, but I'm actually really interested to see what happens. One thing we didn't talk about was the proliferation of sites like Gilt and Of a Kind, which we love. Ugh. But there's so many. There's like Uncovet, which somehow I'm on their mailing list. I don't even know how that happened. And all of these sites. And there's so many, and you have to register uniquely for each one, and it's like exhausting and time consuming, and like, how is that, what's gonna happen there? Like, is that how we are,
someone's gonna come along and bundle that, someone's gonna come along and
I don't
bundle
know I'm really I feel like everything, you know, I'm on Pinterest, I'm like, oh, that's cool, and then it's like on some random site that I don't
Someone's going to bundle that. It's going to happen. The same way that Pinterest took the idea of like curating things and made a home for it. Someone's going to make
a
place for
curated
shopping.
I'm going to put it out there in the world because that would make my life better.
Well, there's a lot to look forward to for 2013.
Yes.
Thank you so much to all of you who've been listening this year. It's been an amazing first season, and we're really excited to come back. So we'll see you online at Design Sponge, and we hope you all have a wonderful, safe, and happy holiday.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.